You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our last of three podcasts on asthma hosted by Med Learning Group, titled A Patient's Viewpoint on Asthma, Its Management and Challenges Associated with This Condition. This series will be designed to meet the educational needs of community-based and academic pulmonologists, immunologists, internists, pharmacists, and physician assistants who care for patients with asthma. My name is Dave Chapman, and I will be your host today for this podcast. In this episode, our focus is to highlight the patient voice for healthcare professionals who care for patients with asthma. Joining me today is Dr. Barton Slatko. Welcome, Dr. Slatko.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Hey, it's good to work with you. I'd like to start by having you tell us your story, at what age you were first diagnosed with asthma, and also any specific symptoms that alerted you to your condition initially.
So I was first diagnosed as a child, maybe around 8 years old or so, and I did have breathing difficulties, often triggered by a cold or a lung infection of some sort. It didn't seem to be allergy related. I would have an episode maybe once a year or so, usually in the Texas winter time. But I did have respiratory issues on and off all the way through school, and I've been hospitalized several times over the years as I got older, but never intubated. And lung infection seemed to be the trigger that triggers my asthma events.
Great. Thank you for that initial history. I'm curious, how has asthma affected your day-to-day activities? Somewhat, quite a bit, or really not much?
So when I was young, I could still play outside, ride my bike, play sports in the neighborhood, and maintain most of my social activities. But I couldn't run long distances, so sometimes being in gym class was an issue. But I learned to be aware of when I was going to really becoming difficult to breathe. And now it really hasn't hampered me very much. I can work in the yard. I can exercise. I can do social activities. I play table tennis. I swim. I'm pretty active, but I don't think I'm going to climb a mountain. And I get up early in the mornings and walk my dog for about a half a mile. So I seem to be doing much better.
No, that sounds good. I can't run long distances either, so either one of us are going to be in a marathon. What treatments were first begun to address your asthma? You mentioned your dad was a veterinarian, but what about inhalers, or do you use a nebulizer? And why specifically, and then if you recall, who prescribed those?
We tried several over the years, different ones. And I was monitored always by my primary care physician. They weren't called that then. They were our pediatricians back then. And my pulmonary and asthma doctors as well. And I would, monitor once or twice a year as needed, or have to go in when I needed to do that. About 10 years ago or 15 years ago, blood tests showed that I had hypereosinophilia. And so we began prednisone, which was available then, and that reduced the eosinophilia down to manageable levels and seemed to be affecting my ability to sort of fight off these asthma effects. It's made a huge difference. And I'm now down to around 5 milligrams a day on a regular basis. And now I take Fasenra, the anti-eosinophilia drug, and the IL-5 receptor biologic, and it's really helped a lot as well.
Great. Thanks for that information, Dr. Slatko. I'm curious, any specific challenges or difficulties in taking your asthma medications? I know inhalers sometimes can be challenging, spacers or a nebulizer, or even potential side effects from those or the prednisone.
So there were no real specific issues using the inhalers. Of course, I had to learn how to use them. It's sort of become second nature over the years. I do carry a rescue inhaler with me in case I need be. I was taught by the doctors to use the spacers with the inhalers and to measure my PFTs which I do when I find myself getting a little bit short of breath. I learn how to rinse my mouth so that I don't get thrush. And I do keep track of my PFTs when I need to. I occasionally have to bump my prednisone up from 5 milligrams a day to 40 or higher when I need to, and then taper. And usually with a doctor's, you know, consent and approach. And high levels of prednisone do make effects on my body, difficult to sleep, sort of a crave for carbohydrates. So there's a weight gain sometimes, makes me grumpy, a little jittery. But the low levels at 5 milligrams a day really don't seem to be an issue for me in terms of my effects. And so I've learned to manage it.
No, that's helpful. What about biologic medicine? You mentioned Fasenra, and do you recall why your physician started you on the biologic, and has it helped in any noticeable side effects or issues in administration?
Right. So around, as I mentioned, 10 to 15 years ago, we noticed that I was having high eosinophilia, and we tried to head that off with prednisone. It did knock it down to some degree, but didn't drop it down to zero. And so I've been on Fasenra now for several years to try and eliminate the cortisone, the prednisone. And it's been a big help. It's made a major difference in how I've been feeling. And so there's no real side effects. When I first started, they would monitor me after I'd get the shot. And I'd be there for 2 hours and there was no effect. And then the next time it'd be an hour and there was no effect. And then 30 minutes and then there was no effect. So after a while, I began auto-injecting. They would send me the medicine and I would just give it to myself once every 2 months. And now it's been great. So that's what I've been using, the Fasenra.
No, that's fantastic. Especially, it sounds like it's really helped and you've tolerated all the medications really well. How have you been working with your physicians, and how has that, changed your care? What are you currently doing in regards to managing your asthma?
So I always keep in touch with my primary care physician if I need new medications, for instance. But I'm also working with a pulmonologist in case I need additional care. And through that pulmonologist, he suggested that I think about doing a study so that they can ascertain whether or not some of the newer biologics can be used that are longer acting. So for instance, the Fasenra I take once every 2 months, but there are medicines that are coming, if the clinical trials hold up, that require me to only do it once every 6 months. So that reduces the issue of my having to do it and keeping track of it, and also probably the cost, I hope. So that's where that came from, his suggestion. And so I decided to join the clinical trial, and I'm monitored once a month now for all sorts of things, blood work for the eosinophilia and lung function tests and all of that through the pulmonologist at Baylor. And that's where I am at this point. Over the years, when I needed help, I would go to the doctor, either my primary care or pulmonologist. And I had both of those on, as part of my primary care back then as well.
No, I think that's excellent, too, that you're participating in a clinical trial. I'm curious, how do you find that? It sounds like you're managing that fine, because I assume they, as you mentioned, they have you come into the clinic for blood draws or measurements of your pulmonary function, but that hasn't disrupted your life really much?
No, I don't mind doing this. I think it's good. I'm kind of a scientist myself, so that I know that how important it is to get this information out there. And without these clinical trials, then really there's no way to know what's going to be good and what's going to be bad. So far, there have been no after effects of the clinical trial drugs or my original Fasenra. So, and again, they monitor me and make sure everything's okay. It means going into the doctor once a month, and Houston traffic makes that a little bit difficult, but it's not insurmountable. And again, I think it's important that people get involved in this sort of studies, because that's the only way we're going to know what works and what doesn't work and what can be bad effects and what are not bad effects. So.
I'm curious, do you have any key tips, to give someone that might be newly diagnosed with asthma that to take advantage of your experience and expertise?
Yeah, so I think it's important to keep someone helping you track and manage your asthma, especially if you're young, and especially what triggers might be causing your asthma effect. Be aware of your breathing, see your physician when necessary. When I need to, I've increased my prednisone with the doctor's help when I need it. I guess the real issue is to get help. And there are a lot of medications out there, and some do better than others. So you just got to keep at it and don't get discouraged. But I guess the really important point is to not feel that you're alone. There are many people with this. You don't have to manage this alone. There's a lot of information available, and you just want to head it off and not let it get ahead of you. And I think when I was younger, I kind of kept waiting a little bit longer than I probably should have to kind of head it off. And the last thing is, on the internet and television, you see all these ads for different medicines and medications, et cetera. And the internet can be a source of information, but it also can be a source of wrong information, or at least not complete information. So I would be really careful to not just listen to the internet and find doctors and go to doctors who really, really can help you. And that's my sort of take on this, is to not be discouraged, to realize you're not alone. It's not something that puts you into a different class of people. You just have to manage it.
Dr. Slatko, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your journey with asthma. And thank you to our listeners for joining us also. In support of improving patient care, Med Learning Group is jointly accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, the ACCME, the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education, ACPE, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center, ANCC, to provide continuing education to the healthcare team. I would like to give a special thank you to our supporters, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals Incorporated and Santa Fe, who provided an educational grant for this activity. Hope you all have a great day. Thank you.